is Pamela Kuhn, and the curtain is up on Center Stage, the show about the arts and the artists behind their work. Ben Woodward is a man committed to one vision, to mount Wagner's Ring Cycle in its entirety with his fringe opera company, Regent's Opera, in London. Opera houses manage ring cycles, but to do the complete cycle in one season is a rarity. The cost of production and casting of the Wagnerian voices needed is daunting. But Ben Woodward and his vision to realize the seemingly impossible task of production is driven by his almost inhuman tenacity. He is the mouse that roared, and heads are turning. Over the past 2 years, Regent's Opera has mounted the first three operas in the cycle to critical acclaim, with The Guardian saying, "Regent's Opera's lean and mean Wagner packs a punch." Now the company has added Götterdämmerung, and the complete ring cycle is the talk of the town. Performances begin February 9th. What is significant here is Maestro Woodward's tireless work. He is responsible for finding private funding. He has spent hundreds of hours rearranging the four operas for a scaled-down orchestra of 22 players, and the orchestration is sublime. Ben Woodward is the conductor throughout. He has managed the casting of every part and found the exciting young stage director, Caroline Staunton, a house director from the Berlin Staatsoper, to fully realize this project on a small budget. And worth a mention is the venue, which may very well be the star of the show. All performances will be featured at Your Call in Bethnal Green, a boxing arena. One could say that the hall is the perfect venue for all the singers to duke it out. It is a theater in the round, making every vantage point spectacular. If you fancy an operatic destination adventure with a big cool factor, this could be your ticket. Here is conductor and impresario Ben Woodward on this moment in musical history. Ben Woodward, welcome to Center Stage. It is a delight to have you in the midst of all your intensive rehearsals with Regent's Opera right now in London in preparation for the complete Ring Cycle of Wagner. You've been at this for weeks in rehearsal. Are you absolutely exhausted?
It's been an extraordinary few weeks. We started rehearsal for Götterdämmerung on the 2nd of December, I think it was. Mm-hmm. We put together Götterdämmerung over the course of the entire of December because that was new. And then since the 2nd of January, we have been solidly putting together all of the operas, putting together everything with the orchestra. And now we're in the venue itself, finding out what the good parts and the challenges of the new venue are. And we're just having a marvelous time putting it together. Exhaustion, absolutely. But also artistically, we are all being absolutely fulfilled to the highest possible levels. It is just a joy to be working on this music.
I can imagine this is your passion project. Always has been.
Yes, since 2022, we've been doing this ring cycle. We initially did stuff at the Freemasons Hall in the middle of Covent Garden. But then after Siegfried, when we started talking to them about the full ring cycle, it became very apparent that they couldn't accommodate us for the sheer amount of time it takes in a venue to do a ring cycle. It was just going to be impossible for them. So we have found this magnificent space, which I'm now sitting in, which is York Hall in London's East End, which is the home of British boxing. So we have a ring in a ring. The nice thing about this venue, so we have been doing what I'm not sure has ever been done before, which is to put the ring in the round. You know, most people love theatre in the round because it's so up close and personal. Opera in the round is always much more difficult, especially if you have an orchestra, because you need to know where the orchestra is going to be placed and how everyone's going to see the conductor. But we've been doing this ring cycle in the round because that was what the Freemasons Hall had. Their grand temple was a space in the middle with seating all around it. Mm-hmm. And that's how their ceremonies work. And what we found here in York Hall is essentially a comparable space, where there is a stage at one end. We've put the orchestra there, and then there's obviously the big space in the middle where the boxing ring goes, and we've put our stage there, and then all the seats naturally go around it. So it is a very comparable space. The acoustic, now we've put all our seats in and our various bits of dressing and stuff, the acoustic is incredible. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I let my assistant conduct the stage and orchestra last night. I went out into the space and it was like, oh my God, this is crystal clear. This is this is as special as the Freemasons was. If actually it feels more so. There is a certain energy to this place, which is a bit more raw. It's a bit more real.
I love it. So there has been a lot of energy coming into this Gura Demarung that you've added. You've done all the other three operas of the Ring. Now, for the first time, you've added Gura Demarung. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most significant aspects of what you're doing, Ben, with this Ring is that you have done all the arrangements, scaling down the orchestra to 22 players. Now, I've heard your Rheingold. Mm-hmm. I've heard snippets of the Valkyrie. I have never been so impressed at how an arranger can actually catch all the colors of the orchestra with limited personnel. So tell me, how have you gone about this? How long has this arranging really taken you?
Well, the arranging takes a very long time. And I tried very hard. I mean, I'm not sure if I managed it to arrange an average of 5 pages of original a day. Bear in mind that Gura Demarung has about 650 pages. That's probably what I did for Gura Demarung, 200 work days on it, working very hard. As I say, that's about 3 or 4 hours every morning. And what I've tried to do, I mean, this may sound stupid, but I've tried to leave it as close to the original as possible. Mm-hmm. So if it's a flute tune for whatever reason, then it will stay on the flute. If it is two flutes playing in thirds, then I would leave the flute on the top and have the oboe play the lower line. If it's two oboes in thirds, I will leave the oboe on the top and put the flute on the lower line. And that means you do actually hear the original sonority. So you hear it, even though it's not actually two flutes, as it was original, you do hear that because that's the one you've got on the top line. Similarly, where the strings are all, they're very frequently divided up. And I've had to rethink that with quite a lot of knowledge of harmony and counterpoint. And I've tried to make it as close to the original as I possibly can. If it is a big cello tune, then I've kept it on the cello if it's all it is possible.
Okay.
The main thing is keeping it as close to the original as possible. Some things get very challenging. One of my favorite bits of music is Act Two. It's after the first scene. So you have Alberich and Hagen, and then you have this magnificent bit where 8 horns basically play a kind of canon. And I've only got 2 horns. So I've had to be quite, in that instance, I have had to be quite creative, you know, using bassoon up to its very top, putting the clarinet in as one of the horn parts and that kind of thing. So there have been moments when it's had to be more creative than others. But as far as possible, I've just tried to keep the original sonorities and colors as best I possibly can.
Wow. And how many string players do you have?
We've got 3 firsts, 3 seconds, 3 violas, 2 cellos and 1 bass. So it's 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, the Siegfried I heard of yours, the string section was so incredible. The players were fine. How do you do this on this limited budget? This is something we should get into right now. Actually, this is a totally self-funded production from day one.
Yeah, it's well, let's talk about the orchestra first. The orchestra have to play out of their skins. We pick them quite carefully and we offer the work to people who we know are going to realize you cannot be a passenger on this project. You have to love the music, because if you're getting to, 1 hour and 45 minutes through the first act of Gura Demarung and you're not still thinking this is good, this is energizing music, then you're just going to die. You have to believe in the music, and you also have to believe that you're really going to put your back into it. And the one thing this orchestra really does is do that for me. They're all invested in the project. They're all very fine London freelancers. The double bass player is moonlighting in the LSO at the moment and things. And the clarinet player, she was in the Bournemouth Symphony for a while, I believe. So, they're all players who have done stints in the major orchestras, but they mainly are choosing to be freelancers right now. Mm-hmm. As we all know, the more you pay, the better players you can get. And I've had to really pay top dollar for all of these players to find players that are of the quality I need. So that's been a challenge. So every rehearsal day, I believe, costs a little over £4,000 in orchestra fees for a 6 hour rehearsal. So, you quickly work out how much it is per minute and you quickly realize you don't waste any rehearsal time.
Yeah, exactly.
So then the challenge is pretty obviously, how do you pay for all that? Because I'm one of the least wealthy people I know. it's a case of, as with all arts, especially America and the UK, it is a case of begging, borrowing and stealing if necessary. We ask our friends, we get donors on board, We get sponsors. We do whatever we can to make this project financially viable. And there's always an executive board behind me, a board of the company, who are always saying, Ben, are you sure you can do this? Can you prove to me that you're going to find the money that is the gap at the moment? We've had no government subsidy at all.
Really?
Yeah, there's something in the UK called the Arts Council. One could talk about that for a very long time if we really wanted to, because they've got a little political and they've become a little bit anti-opera.
Right.
Opera, the Gesamtkunstwerk, the total work of art that meets why we love it, because it involves every possible discipline that we call art. You would have thought that that was entirely what the Arts Council should be sponsoring. But they have turned us down on three occasions for this project. And the words they used were, we want to use what little money we have to put on things that are more worthwhile. And I was like, well, what is more worthwhile than a ring cycle? But that's happening to a lot of opera at the moment in the UK. So we just carry on. We carry on. We sell tickets. We talk to our donors. We do everything we possibly can to make this thing happen because we have to.
Yeah, you have to. And how many people do you have on your fundraising team, Ben Woodward?
Well, I've got one guy I'm hiring as my development officer. He's done a bit of development work for the Royal Opera and other places. And he's very good at managing donors and donors' expectations and what they will get in return for their money. But the main person who's doing most of the fundraising, the person who's doing most of the knocking on the doors is me.
It's you. Yeah.
It's me. It's about saying to your friends, saying to anyone that you think might have a spare £20 note hidden under their bed, I've got a really good place for that £20 note.
You are effective as this. I also know that you are renowned for keeping a sense of family in your casting. Quite literally, you have your wife, Catherine Woodward, who is really up to the task of singing Brunhilde, and she does it brilliantly, and she is developing her career in Germany. But everyone else you seem to work with on a regular basis, not unlike a great film director who likes to go back to the same actors. Is this something that's very important to you for Regent's Opera?
I think it's very important to work with people you like, work with people you love, to develop careers of singers, to help them develop over time. I mean, if you just give someone one contract, how are they going to develop from one to the next? I mean, I think that's that's kind of not what I'm about. I'm interested in helping people to go through their own process. We definitely have a sense of family in this cast. The one thing that will always be the case with a ring cycle when you're putting on four operas with interlocking casts is that you're all spending so much time together in rehearsal and then in performance. You're spending weeks in each other's pockets. If you were just doing, I don't know, a Tosca, then once you've done your 3 or 4 weeks of rehearsal, however long it takes to put on a Tosca, you can be done with those people. You never have to think about them again. With the ring cycle, you're definitely doing everything again. You're definitely coming back to it. You are living together in a very close space, whatever the theatre is. You will get to know these people and they will be your family for some weeks. And so part of the casting process absolutely is making sure, you know, there aren't any terrible people you don't want to spend time with. If you have that feeling about someone that maybe they are not, as I say, one of us, then they're probably not. So let's not cast them. Let's make sure that we're working with people we like and we want to spend time with. I think that's very important, especially in a ring cycle more than any other opera, but I do it in everything I put on. So
there you go. You're the boss. You can do that. And you get things done. Man, oh man, do you get things done. You know, the ring seems to be the hottest ticket in London right now. From what I have seen, all the advertising, that you go down to a tube station, there's your poster. It's impressive. You've been doing interview after interview in wonderful, wonderful magazines on wonderful radio shows. It's very visible what you're doing. I would think that there's a cool factor about this ring because it's not one of the standard opera houses. This is your thing. You make it fun. You make it sexy. And part of that is due to the fabulous directing of Caroline Staunton, who you met in Berlin. I think she is a house director at the Berlin Staatsoper.
That's correct, yes. So back in 2020, when everything was fairly locked down, I got wind of a little outfit that was doing wine bar opera in this relatively small wine bar. They were allowed six people in at once, plus, I think, four performers. And it was a really interesting thing that she was doing fascinating stuff with good repertoire, fantastic singers. And we'd do it three times in a night. The wine bar would, you know, wine and dine six people in 45 minutes with opera
six
and wine.
People.
Six people, then they'd kick them out, and then we'd do it three more times. So we'd get through 24 people in a night. And that was about as much as we could do back then. In the process, Caroline and I became very fun friends, and she is an absolute, not only enthusiast, but an encyclopedia of opera, mm-hmm. of every different form of opera. If you talk to her about early opera, she knows about it. If you talk to her about modern opera, she knows about it. Czech repertoire, Russian repertoire, she does the whole gamut with a particular passion for The Ring. And we were chatting about it, and I said, well, this was half, you know, a bit of a plan to do The Ring in London. This is when we were talking in 2021. And she said, I would love to direct it. Let's do it. I said, well, can you really get that much time off from the Staatsoper? And she says, I will make it happen. And as well as doing that and being generally brilliant about making that happen, having the same passion for it that I do, her facility with people and getting out of them what needs to be got out of them as singing actors and really throwing their heart on the stage and working on the interpersonal relationships between the characters is very special. Mm-hmm. Working in the round, of course, is awkward at the best of times, but her knowledge of how to make all the sight lines work, I think she's been absolutely brilliant. And her take on The Ring, her thoughts on not only the futility of wealth, mm-hmm. but also the folly of men, as opposed to mm-hmm. all of us mm-hmm. men, but specifically men. The folly of men, I think, is, you know, it's one of her kind of big themes she's drawing out in this. We are asked by Caroline to really consider what is worthwhile in life, what is important, what do we value, and how does that react on the rest of the world, really?
So her emotional truth has been played out through all four operas, and you guys have had the luxury of that consistency with her.
Absolutely. I've joked that doing these four operas is like her own personal therapy. But yes.
I love it. I've just got to ask, because she and you are working so well together and with all the cast members. With a smaller budget comes this whole reality of cutting corners in places. And sometimes, Ben, I feel that cutting corners can actually be a blessing. I adore minimalism. I love minimalism in staging. Has this presented itself to all of you in the form of being extraordinary? I mean, it's actually helped your vision?
I think it has forced us to knuckle down to the acting and the music, especially the acting, the music, and indeed the text that Wagner gave us. I think those are our absolute guiding principles that we have a lot of. But there's minimal set, because in the round, you can't have very much set anyway. And, you know, the bits and props and stuff, we do what we can. We have a budget for them, and I think we must certainly use it. But the concentration we have given to the text, the acting, and the singing, possibly in that order, actually, as daft as it might sound, it's been really fascinating to make sure that everyone not only understands the words that they're singing, but knows how to deliver them in a really meaningful fashion to the person mm-hmm. they are standing opposite.
Well, that's emotional truth, if I've ever heard it. Okay.
It really is.
This is extraordinary. Are you selling out?
Not at the moment. There are plenty of tickets left. We're at about 70% at the moment, which is great.
Because you're actually performing the Ring Cycle twice, not just once, but twice.
Yeah. Well, I think if you only did every show once, that would be a shame. So we're doing two complete Ring Cycles and an additional Götterdämmerung, because obviously the Götterdämmerung hasn't had a previous run. The capacity is about 900, and we've sold nearly 600 first ring cycles plus a load of extra tickets, and about 500 second ring cycles so far, which I hope when the reviews come out will, because the national papers are interested in it. I hope when the reviews come out, that'll finish us off and get us over the top of whatever the magic number of percentages that makes us, dare I say, break even.
Yeah. We're hoping for that, Ben. We're pulling for you. I love it. I just want to know, is there one aspect, either theatrically or musically, for you in Götterdämmerung which really stands out?
There are a couple of moments I find the feels, as they say, the feels come up in one's chest. You kind of feel that, you know, I can't quite believe I'm doing this, and isn't this great? And the two moments that specifically happens are two-thirds of the way into the love duet in the prologue, when Brunhilde and Siegfried are singing together, and we're in two in a bar, and we're just hurtling, and it's some of the best music Wagner ever wrote. That's one of the moments that always just gets to me. Mm-hmm. And then the very beginning of the immolation.
Yeah.
Because the immolation is something that Kat and I have been working on now since, 2017? Is that when we started work on the immolation? Wow. As a kind of, do I think I can sing this? And I'm like, do I think I can play this? Yeah, so we've been working on that as an excerpt since 2017, which is now 8 years ago, goodness. And this is the journey. That's how long I think it has taken. That's how long I think it should have taken. For a major role at the very pinnacle of all of the roles for Kat's kind of voice, this is a huge achievement for us both.
Yeah, it is. It is. What a family affair, I have to say. I just need to know, has there been any major opera house who has reached out to you and been interested in actually scooping you up or the work of Regents, even if it was just for educational outreach?
The short answer is no. The longer answer is that, as you said at the beginning, Kat has got a steadily but surely burgeoning career in Germany. And indeed in Europe, as an Isolde on the cards and that kind of thing. So it's working very well for her. For me, I've got a very, very small contract at the Royal Opera coming after this. I'm giving 10 cues in Trovatore. I'm conducting the anvils. I conduct the anvils on 2 and 4 because friends don't let friends conduct on 1 and 3.
Oh, I love that.
So I conduct the anvils on 2 and 4 in Trovatore. But it's a very small contract, but it's a marvellous, marvellous place to work. And many of the Royal Opera staff are coming to this ring, and I'm hoping they will say, okay, this guy, this girl, this, you know, any member of these teams, their quality, we should be working with these guys. And that's another reason for doing it, to try and put a shot in the arm of our careers, as well as just because, you know, I fundamentally need to conduct the ring and Kat fundamentally needs to sing Brunhilde. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens in the future. But at the moment, there's not a lot in my diary going forward, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
People keep saying, would you like to take this ring to America or indeed to Berlin or whatever? And it's, I'd love to do such a thing. But again, there's only one constraint and that's cash.
Ben, looking back at all these years, when you first started this vision you had to complete the ring, and now you're doing it, and wow, kudos to you. Is there one moment that is particularly fulfilling to you when you reflect back?
I don't know about a specific moment. I think the thing that happened, it was actually yesterday. It's stupid, it sounds, you know, let's just use short-term memory. And I think I might have mentioned it earlier in the interview. So I let my assistant conduct a very small portion of Act 3 of Siegfried with the orchestra last night. And it was the bit with Wotan, with the Wanderer. And I said, right, you conduct, and I'm going to go out into the hall and listen to it. And again, it suddenly, it wells up inside you. This sounds amazing. I was a little bit worried about this hall because it is notionally quite boomy, but we've done things to it. And it works. It is the most incredible experience for everyone. There is, as I said, there is a remarkable energy about it. And that moment, as I sat in the hall and allowed assistant to conduct a little bit, I was like, we're doing something here. We're properly doing something.
You're really, really making history.
So, yeah, I'm sure there were many examples over the past 3 years, but I'm going to choose one from literally yesterday.
Okay. I love that. I love it. It's so present. And it speaks well for everything. You know, it's the culmination of all your work. So tell me this one more question.
Mm-hmm. Everyone is.
If you had a chance to sit down with Richard Wagner one night for dinner, what would that conversation be like?
Well, I'd make sure my wife was nowhere nearby because he'd try and steal her.
I didn't expect that. Okay.
And I might ask him some questions about why did you choose to do a variety of things? I mean, the Wagner tuba, why? Why the Wagner tuba?
Yeah, good question.
I would ask him how he expected some of the string players to play some of the figuration he was writing. I mean, who was he writing for? I'd be fascinated to talk to him about the singers he was writing for. Who on earth? It was his first Tristan actually had a heart attack and died on stage, didn't he? I think that's right.
It could have happened.
I think that's right. So it's like, who were you expecting to sing Siegfried? What on earth were you expecting them to do? So I think I would ask him some questions about that. He was a ridiculous megalomaniac, so he'd probably just not care. And he said, I expect them to give their all, and if he dies, he dies. But I would be fascinated to know what was going through his head at some of these moments. I think I can guess with some of it. And having recently been to both Bayreuth and the Museum at Wahnfried, you can sort of see where his brain was. But the fact that someone had not only that personality, say, I might not choose to have dinner with him, to be honest. I don't think he was the world's most pleasant individual. But the fact is that he gave the world these works, and they absolutely stand up to scrutiny, I think is a remarkable thing. So that's why we're still doing them today, and we will probably continue doing them for centuries more. So
I love it. Well, Ben Woodward, thanks for sharing all this with us. Now, just tell us how we can find tickets. Das Rheingold begins on February 9 at Your Call in Bethnal Green in London.
That's correct. Tickets are available on ticketsource.co.uk/regents-opera. So that's the easiest way to do it. I also have a Bitly link, which is Ringtix, RINGTIX, or via our regentsopera.com website. You can find them quite easily. We're up to about 70%, and I am aiming in the next 2 weeks to get this thing sold out.
To fill that
up. It deserves it. It truly does.
It really does.
It truly does.
All your energy and your love and your passion. The music we have heard today is the immolation scene from the recording Wagner by Arrangement, with Ben Woodward conducting and Catherine Woodward singing Brunhilde. With an incredible lineup of singers and a production that, I have to say, is authentically phenomenal, I recommend this Ring Cycle to any Wagner or theater fan. Fortunately, I'll be in London for the opening, and if you are a listener, I hope to see you there. You can find more information about Ben Woodward and Regents Opera at regentsopera.com and at Center Stage with PamelaCoon.com. Stay safe out there, everyone. This is Pamela Coon, and the curtain is now down on Center Stage.